All right, baby. I am fucking amped up, beyond amped up. And we're going to do something on 30 on Broadway that MSG isn't doing for you. You're only getting that here right now. Let's go, baby. Welcome to the playoffs,
Oh,
baby.
oh.
Playoff hockey at its finest. The MSG Network teased us
I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie to you. I went six to midnight on that. I
with
went six to midnight on that one.
oh boy.
Like, dude.
Didn't even
Like,
know that.
hey, dude. Yeah, well, let me tell you something. There's something about that intro, man.
But for copyright
It's.
purposes, that is because we were comparing the intro that they have now compared to the intro that we all are dying for. Give it back to us.
The one that most of us grew up on.
Little fun fact, the 30 on Broadway intro is kind of inspired by that. It's
Is
kind of why we
inspired by that
have the
intro.
jazzy intro. It
Yep.
is inspired by that classic that they
Well,
teased us with before game one, and they didn't give it to us. But you know what they did give
yeah.
to us? A 2-0 series lead. Rempy Mania running wild in game one. The fourth line, the third, I mean, top to bottom, this lineup, there isn't a single player
Dude,
that
Will Cooley may
I
not have a point yet. He might not have a point yet, but he has been one of the most impactful players on the ice.
they've had an impact every shift. Every shift. One of the shifts in this game, it was one of the later shifts in the third period. He did everything but score.
He was trying to will a goal. Like it was
I mean,
fantastic.
it was crazy. And we said this back on like one of the first episodes, if not first episode of this season. We
Yep,
said Will Cooley
yeah,
is a
playoff
16 game
player.
player.
Yep.
Like he is that guy. He is built for it. But you know what? This team.
And I just love that he went after Tom Wilson too.
Yeah, the nut shot
Well, actually, that wasn't even his fault. Wilson
Wilson
cross-checked him.
started it. Wilson started
Well,
it.
Wilson cross-checked him, and when he hit him and he went back, his stick went up.
No, I mean
That's
he nut shot him.
Well, you
I mean,
know, hey,
whatever. I mean,
I'm gonna play
whatever.
devil's advocate.
Whatever. You know what though?
You know,
Whatever. Hey, Tom Wilson plays those games. Tom Wilson
this
knows that comes with the territory.
play stupid games, win stupid prizes. And speaking of which, TJ Oshie, this is your tape.
Yeah, I am. I've never liked TJ Oshie. The only thing I have ever liked about TJ Oshie is Soshi Oshie. That's it.
Well, no, I like the moment when
No.
he won the cup and he had his dad on
Well,
the
yeah, I
ice,
mean, that
and
was, yeah, that, yeah.
that was
So I
awesome.
always kind of feel like a little awkward. It's like, ugh, like, but separating that, TJ Oshie is one of those players
You
that.
hated him for years. You could never stand him.
He's a dirtbag behind the play. I hate it. I don't like players that look. I've said this before to much to, and I don't want to talk too much about the Caps, but I'll do this really quick. I've talked about this before on this podcast about how a lot of fans hate Tom Wilson, rightfully so. Tom Wilson is a dirty player. He doesn't shy about it. He's not shy about it. You know the type of player that Tom Wilson is, but Tom Wilson can also play hockey. He is a damn good hockey player.
Yeah, when he chooses to not be a
When he,
jackass.
yeah, right. TJ Oshie is a good hockey player, but he is a dirty little shit behind the play. And
He
he
is
does
very
things.
Brad Marchand like.
Yeah. And he's not even half the player that Brad Marchand is. I'm sorry. I don't care. TJ Oshie is a very good hockey player. He can't sniff Brad Marchand's jock strap. We'll just be blunt. But there's a lot of those players that are like that on many teams. And TJ Oshie is one of is the one on the Caps. I have a bigger problem with TJ Oshie than I do with Tom Wilson. by a long shot. And I know Tom Wilson can hurt players, and he's habitually stepped that
Well,
line.
you and I are
But
not the same.
tonight, the crap with Panarin, I absolutely love that Panarin flattened him. Love it. But not only just the intentional high stick, that was 100%, 1000% intentional. But the little play that they showed, and I don't know if they even really, I don't know if people caught it, but the whole play where the Caps took the penalty and then Oshie went after Panarin. Before that sequence, before the puck
No,
goes in the corner,
McMichael went after Panarin.
no, McMichael got the penalty, but Panarin and
Right, but
Oshie.
but Panarin hit Oshie and McMichael came flying
But I'm
in
saying leading up
and
to
tackled Panarin.
leading up to that whole sequence. No. I'm not talking about when Panarin hit Oshie. I'm talking about before that.
Oh, you're talking about
Oshie threw an elbow. And they showed it. They caught it on the broadcast, and that's where like Joe Micheletti was like, "Yo, like, how come Oshie's not getting a penalty here?" Because Oshie threw a little sneaky little elbow on the play, and then they go around behind the net, and then Oshie wraps up and tries to take down Panarin along the boards. That's the kind of crap with like Oshie that I can't stand, because he'll do that stuff, but then he'll run his mouth and cry foul all night up and down the ice, and then
Yeah, like he did
he
with the
can't
high
stay.
stick.
Yeah, and he can't stay healthy to save his life. So it's kind of ironic. But regardless, I don't care. The Capitals, look, the scoreboard is going to show that this was a 4-3 game. The Rangers could have ran away with this and should have ran away with this, to be honest.
Stick taps to Charlie Lindgren. He made some big saves to
And he
keep
made some big saves, but you know, he almost blew it
he almost blew it on
a
that
couple
play.
times. And they've
Yeah.
exposed them. They've exposed them. They've done a good job exposing him, because all the talk coming into this series was, oh, Charlie Lindgren, Igor Shesterkin. And
Well,
to some extent, rightfully so, Charlie Lindgren is the reason that the Capitals are even in the playoffs.
a lot of what I heard was, yeah, the Rangers are the
With me.
better team, and the Capitals are lucky to be here,
Back for
but
Panarin, and now Fox pressured up.
this could be a lot like 2010 when the Capitals were heavily favored
Right.
against the Canadiens, and Jaroslav Halak played like his hair was on fire
Yeah,
and
stole the
stole the
series.
series.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
And I get
here,
it.
and I get the comparisons, but you and I talked about this. We watched the Capitals Flyers game, the last game of the season, game 82,
Yep.
and we were just talking to each other. We were remarking about just how incredibly slow and just not there the Capitals looked in a do or die game.
They both
How it was
look
pretty much,
gassed.
yeah, how it was pretty much Charlie Lindgren get us into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is because they've had to play playoff hockey for a while now. Like
Right.
they've been, and a lot of people will say, you know, it goes both ways, kind of like, you know, would you rather be running on all cylinders going into the playoffs, or would you rather be slumping going in? I'm always of the take of I'd rather be playing, you know, some of my best hockey, but I don't want to be playing playoff hockey the last 20 games of the season just to get into
20,
the or more,
they were playing about 35 games.
just to get in, and then you got to go up against the Rangers or any team for that matter. I mean, you're seeing that in the series. I mean, you're seeing that in the Carolina Hurricanes, New York Islanders, LOL, hilarious game too. But you're kind of seeing the similarities here. These are two teams that have been just basically balling it out as much as they can.
They've had to empty the barrel just to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, and listen, when Tom Wilson is your best player, as good of a player as Tom Wilson is, when Tom Wilson is your best and most noticeable player on the ice, that's kind of a problem.
I'll take it a step further. When Dylan McIlrath is one of your five best players, two games into a series, you have issues.
Which was hilarious. I mean, you know how many people were sitting there going, Dylan, Matt, what? Like, it's amazing. It's actually kind of remarkable that Dylan McIlrath has carved out a career for him as much of a bust as he was.
Good for
And
him. I
I mean,
mean,
good for him. And I wonder if
you
it bites at him, because you look across the ice now and you look at, because there was a ton of hype. Like, people, I mean, you got to remember, for most of the, there's a lot of us that do, Dylan McIlrath was big time hype. And you go back to his draft year and the players that the Rangers missed out on because they took him.
Yeah, we could have had Cam Fowler or Vlad Tarasenko or, you know, any number of players.
I mean,
you know, Vlad Tarasenko would have been nice to have on that 13-14 cup team or 14-15. You know, just saying. But I'm not still bitter about that.
But I mean, you know, kudos to him. He somehow has carved out a career, and he's had a pretty good AHL career out of it.
Yeah, you're right, though, that there was high. Like people were building him up as he was going to be the first crease clearing defenseman that the Rangers have had since Jeff Bukaboom.
Since Bukaboom, yeah. Since Bukaboom, yeah.
That was the hype that was surrounding Dylan McIlrath coming out of 100%. That draft.
And now you look across the ice and you got players like Will Cooley. Matt Rempe. Matt Rempe has done infinitely more for the New York Rangers than Dylan McIlrath ever did. And there is zero expectations on
that. Dude, let me tell you something. How is it, like, he is living rent-free in people's heads right now.
Oh, it's funny. But I think this series has done a really good... This series has really shown that while Matt Rempe skates like a giraffe, like a newborn giraffe, which is funny as hell, but you're kind of seeing it develop a bit before our eyes. You're seeing that if he could just keep his damn hands down, just learn to keep freaking hands down, man. He is an incredibly effective fourth liner. What he has done to that fourth line and to Barkley Goodrow is unlocked. And I don't think it's any coincidence that it has been a huge jump boost to him in helping him. One, probably healthy now, fully healthy. But Barkley Goodrow is playing like Tampa Bay Lightning Barkley Goodrow.
I'm very annoyed that Rempe so far has got called for penalties.
Yeah, he got his hands up today, though. He got his hands up.
The one today was fine. The one in game one I thought was garbage.
Game one was garbage, but I also think, I mean, look, the refs have been, I mean, Kelly Sutherland and Wes McCauley. I mean, you might as well, they're the Angel Hernandezes of the NHL. I mean, they're not good referees. They have no business being. Look, Wes McCauley is only noted because he makes funny calls.
And 5 minutes each for
and he doesn't even do it anymore. He doesn't even do it anymore. He just makes bad calls up and down the ice. I mean, that was the thing tonight. I tweeted this out. You know, Zibanejad gets basically flipped and tripped in front of the net. A scoring opportunity taken away. They don't call it. You know, Ovi cross checks. I don't remember who it was from behind. I think it was Lindgren, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Lindgren.
Yeah.
Lindgren has to go to the bench. Thankfully, he's okay. They don't call
it. Well, it's because he lost his helmet.
They don't call it. You know, and then they call a ticky tack freaking tripping call on Trouba, which was absolutely garbage. It was a garbage call. And that's where it's like, all right, if you're going to swallow the whistles, swallow the whistles. And that's a dangerous game to play.
Especially in this series,
and
with some of the personalities involved in this series.
Oh yeah, you're just asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble. So you either, you know, you got to find the sweet spot. You got to find a sweet spot between the terrible shit show of Kelly Sutherland and the terrible shit show of Wes McCauley. And I don't know how you do that, but I digress.
I'll tell you what. This Florida Bolts series right now this game is so much fun.
Listen, let's recap the Rangers stuff, then we can talk about the rest of the playoffs real quick. But game one was one of the first playoff games that I've watched in a long time, and I don't know if you felt this way, that I was like stress free.
Yeah.
I mean, I just felt like the Rangers took care of business. Like I said,
at no point in that game did I ever think the Rangers were in jeopardy.
I mean, the Panarin line with Lafreniere and Trocheck did what we expect them to do. 3 points across the group. Kreider with a big goal to seal it off. Barkley Goodrow helped, 2 assists from him. Jimmy Vesey, a goal and assist. I mean, the fourth line had 5 points in game one. Talk about having an impact. If your fourth line could put up 5 points in a playoff game, that is beyond huge. You know, Zibanejad gets an assist. Roslovic gets an assist. You know, the defense. Braden Schneider and Keandre Miller together.
That pair has been phenomenal.
Miller outside of one bad play today, which fortunately didn't bite us, he's been unbelievable.
It goes, and again, I said it on the last podcast, and I'll say it again. It goes back to he's playing
it's
with a
the
partner.
Right fit. It's the perfect
right.
fit. Perfect
Exactly.
fit.
Exactly.
I mean,
he's got a defensive partner in Braden Schneider, who, by the way, Ranger fans hated that draft pick and wanted everybody shot.
Oh, my God. You remember last season, said, oh, trade him, trade him, trade him.
Yeah.
You're seeing why you don't trade. You don't need every defenseman to be
Cale Makar.
Cale Makar. Yeah. You don't need offensive juggernauts from every. You need a balanced lineup. And right now, defensively, they have been terrific. Gustafson himself has largely played really well. Like, I really
two big assists tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Jacob Trouba has done everything you could possibly ask as the captain on the back end. I mean, 9 hits in 2 games. I think he leads everybody. I'm fairly certain. I think Dowd might have more hits than him. But like the defense of the Washington Capitals is not playing physical. They have hardly any of the amount of hits that the Rangers defense.
Well, to be fair, the Caps, they're missing, two-thirds of their
but
defense.
You gotta take advantage. Hey, but they, oh well, you
yeah,
gotta take
no,
advantage
I,
of it.
Yeah, 100%.
The
no.
Rangers are outworking them to the point where they can't. The only thing that the defense is able to do is basically take penalties.
I thought I will say this for the Caps. I thought Alexiev played well tonight.
Whatever. Fuck
but
him.
Well, yeah. You know. Listen, I am trying to be non-biased.
We gotta be biased on Rangers podcast. I don't care. What the hell? This is playoff hockey.
I am trying to show everyone that I can see both sides.
I just love from top to bottom. These 2 games, and tonight especially, every player has been visible. You have heard every player be engaged, and you saw it. There isn't a single player.
Panarin for not having a point tonight was...
Or a shot
this
on
was,
goal.
This was probably the most engaged I thought I've seen him in. Well, I'll say this. Most complete game I think I've ever seen him play.
Oh, he was involved in everything. And that's a big, I mean, it's a complete 180 from last year. He's in everything. He's involved in everything. It's been terrific. You know, he was held off the shots, but I think that was more so because he had like 3 or 4 that got blocked. But when you hold the big offensive threat of Alex Ovechkin to just, I believe, 1 shot on goal so far in this series. I believe he has 1 shot on goal in just under 40 minutes of ice time. Ovechkin, including all the power plays that they've had, 4 in game 1, and another 5 in game 2. And
yeah,
that's
for Caps fans who think that this series
only
is being called slanted towards the Rangers.
2 shots on, or 1 shot on goal. That's huge.
Oh,
that is reminding
me
of Mark Stahl, Dan Girardi when they were actually like smothering. And yeah, that whole thing, that whole notion of, oh, the Rangers are getting the benefits of all the calls. Game 1, the Caps had 4 power plays, Rangers had 2. Game 2, the Caps had 5 power plays, the Rangers had 6. Shut up. Just shut up. Come on. I think we can all agree the refereeing has been horrendous.
I'll say this. This has been the least engaged I've seen Ovi in the playoffs in about 15 years. This is pre-Barry Trotz. This is pre-Dale Hunter. This is the shorthanded goal that the Rangers scored, the Keandre Miller goal tonight, Ovi just it was back to the days when where we used to make the joke where Ovi's controller got unplugged.
Yeah.
Cause like he lost the puck and he didn't even skate back. Like he doesn't care. I don't want to say he doesn't care because I don't know Ovi, so I don't want to assume, you know. But it just looks like, if I were to guess, Ovi knows that the Rangers are the better team. He knows that this is not the series for the Capitals. And he's just like, yeah, whatever. We got to the playoffs.
Yeah,
whatever.
I mean, it could just be he's gassed.
Could be.
Because he shows it in spurts. You've seen it in spurts. But I think it's another thing. Like, he was probably facing the pressure from not scoring, and then he goes on that absolute tear. And I think maybe he's just, you know, he's just gassed at this point. But series now shifts. I don't like that we have 2 days off before game three. We play again on Friday night and then again on Sunday night.
It definitely gives the Caps here a chance to get healthy.
Yeah, it gives them a chance to catch their breath a little bit.
But even with that, I still think the Rangers are the much better team.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it really won't make that much of a difference.
This game, I think the Rangers kind of sat back a little bit more than I would have liked late in the game. But, I mean, the Rangers would have iced it had the puck not hit that rut. That was an empty netter. I don't know who that was off. I don't know if that was Wennberg that cleared it.
No, it was VC.
Or VC. It was clearly going. And then it hit. You could see it hit a rut once it was past the blue line and it shifts over. So, I mean, it probably wouldn't have gotten that. It probably shouldn't have been as tight as it was. But you had to expect it. Like the Capitals, for the Capitals, they almost, this was almost a must-win game for them. Because now you have to go back. Yeah, you obviously have to win one down in Washington. You have to. But if you want to even make anything out of this series, I think you got to win game three.
It's like I said to you, the Rangers, for them to show us that this is different from years past and, you know, they've learned from previous mistakes, they need to come out. They need to be up 2-3-0 in this series.
Yep.
And close it out in five. Because, and I mean, Larry Brooks actually wrote an article today in the New York Post about before the game about it, demons of the past for the Rangers, how it's hanging over them for this game. Yeah. That the Rangers in too many playoff series.
We used to lose game two all the time.
All the time. And he noted the 2012 postseason.
2012 was the biggest one.
They win game one against Ottawa, lose game two. They win game one against Washington, they lose game two. They win game one against New Jersey, they lose game two. You know,
the Rangers historically never made it easy for themselves.
The only time in the last 15 years the Rangers have won the first two games of the series were 2 years ago in the Eastern Conference Final, which they wound up then losing the last four.
Well, and then last season against the Devils.
And last season, too, yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah, again, like, if you want to reverse the script, go out there and take care of business in game three. For the Capitals, they absolutely have to. I mean, they have to win game three to try to make this anything. For the Rangers, just come out and keep doing what you're doing. I think the only way that the only way the Capitals, if the Rangers keep playing the way they're playing, the only way the Capitals make any sort of a dent or anything is Charlie Lindgren has to absolutely steal a game for them. And right now, as good as he's played, he's not stealing a game. He hasn't
been good enough. He's got to be Henrik Lundqvist-like.
Yeah, he hasn't been good enough. So the Rangers up 2-0. We're going to do a little bit of a look around. Because the playoffs have been wild. We're going to stay.
Oh, you want to talk about wild Sunday night in Winnipeg?
Holy crap.
Holy shit.
And there were people on Twitter going, you can't really fault Georgie. No. No. Yes, you can.
No, no, I mean, you could fall Georgie. Georgie
but
is
I would
not
say
good.
this. You've got to, depending on how tonight plays out, and I mean they got through the first period. There's only one goal right now in the Jets game, and it is for the Jets. But you gotta be a little concerned. Hellebuck gives up six.
No, because I mean that game opened. If you watch that game,
yeah,
the
but you
style
don't
of
want
play.
Hellebuck is one of the best players in the NFL.
Agreed. And Hellebuck's not going to have a game like that again this series.
You would hope not. You can't.
The whole thing was if you watch that game, the style of play in that game actually favored the Avalanche.
Oh, it was stupid.
It was high speed, high octane
no
offense.
Defense.
Yeah, no defense.
Defense optional.
It looked like a game from the 80s.
And I get that. I get that with, like, Georgie. You can't hang him out to dry for all of it. But still, you can't give up seven goals in a game.
But a lot of the goal. But see, the whole thing was Colorado limited chances. The chances that they gave up were high-quality, high-danger chances. And the problem is Alexander Georgiev is not that good of a goalie that you could give up
no.
several high-danger chances in a game.
Nope. Not at all. And
so,
but did you like the little note on Facebook? The fun fact, I don't know if you knew this, people that are listening.
Shut the hell up.
The amount of
Shut
times
up.
That a team named the Jets have scored seven in a playoff game in the last 13
Oh,
years.
God.
Winnipeg in the NHL, two. The New York Jets in the NFL, zero. I
I'm
died.
Gonna punch you. I'm gonna punch
I'm just
you so
like,
hard.
What a comparison.
I swear to God, I'm gonna punch you so hard the
Oh,
next
I
time I
love
see
it.
you.
So,
What are our tickets for round two? So this way I know when I'm punching you.
Oh, they're probably gonna be sold.
Because
the way the ticket prices are going, they're gonna be sold, baby.
Because you know I gotta know when I'm gonna
They
be
are.
when
There
I'm gonna
are
be
not. There
smacking
are
you.
not big discounts for. The playoff things. But anyways, so you've got that series. The Jets up one game to none. I think both of us actually picked Winnipeg to win that series.
Yes, I did.
Lightning Panthers are going into overtime in what is a buzzsaw series. I just want to see both of these teams beat the living snot out of each other, because one of these two teams is going to be the team that's in the conference final. Whoever wins this series is going to the conference final, in my opinion. For me, and I think I actually have Tampa going. I have Tampa that's going to be going through in seven. But I think what you're seeing tonight is how this series is going to be every game.
I also picked Tampa in seven.
I mean,
and I'll tell you this. I texted you this tonight watching that game during the first intermission of the Ranger game. I saw Steven Stamkos do something I've never seen in my entire life watching hockey. He got a one-timer, and he shot the puck so hard that it hit flush off the pipe, and it actually cleared the zone off its own momentum off the pipe. I've never seen that in my life.
That's wild.
It was, and then in the second period, Stamkos came down the slot and ripped one. Absolutely uncorked one, and hit Bob square in the mask.
And then he tied the game late.
He did, but the shot that he took in the second period that went off of Bob's mask was insane. Like, I mean, when he wants to let it rip, he can still let it fly.
100%. Stamkos, 100%. Healthy? Stamkos is one of the best centers in the league, healthy.
It makes you sad when you think about how much of his career was taken from injury.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. And then you've got
freak injuries too.
Yeah.
Not even like
the last Eastern Conference series, which again, I love it because these two teams are going to beat the snot out of each other. But the Islanders,
that's not the last Eastern Conference series. You forgot the other one.
That one doesn't matter. You know what's going to happen in that one. We don't even have to talk about it.
Wow.
Boston is going to win that series. It's just
I picked Toronto in seven.
I picked Boston in seven. So
well, that's because you're a New Englander. So
no, it's just because I know Toronto. Granted, Austin Matthews did score finally,
Austin Matthews looked great in that game.
And I was crapping on Matt Domi and, or Max Domi, and you're like, "Oh, dude scored a goal and assisted." So I'm like, yeah. Shut up.
Yeah.
But look, that's another series. I think they're gonna beat the snot out of each other, but I don't think either one of those teams will get past. I don't know why. I have Tampa. I don't know why. I just do.
I'll tell you what. If the Leafs get a healthy William Nylander back, I definitely think they could beat Boston maybe quicker than seven.
Well, I mean maybe. But the one series that I'm sitting here last night and I'm texting Nick and I'm like, dude, 7 minutes to go in the first period and the Islanders don't even have a shot on goal. And then all of a sudden they put in three. And then they were like, okay, don't have to play anymore. And then they give up five. And then the defining moment of the game, the defining action of the game is Matt Martin gooning it up and trying to fight Stefan Nason tied up. And then Nason just body slams him. I mean, that just slam it shut. Hurricanes up 2-0. That's another one of those series. I think the Hurricanes will win it just because I mean, it's the Islanders shouldn't even be in the playoffs. But it's just one of those where you just sit there and you go, wow. That how could you be up 3-0 in a game and then in the blink of an eye you're down 5-3? That's just pathetic. That's pathetic playoff hockey. Moving out to the West, the Oilers Kings series. Oh boy, the Kings better have a different game too, because Oilers, another team that put up a touchdown. No bueno.
I'll tell you what.
No bueno.
I remember when everybody, all Ranger fans were in love with Cam Talbot.
Yeah. He did not look good. I think that might be a quick one.
And it wasn't all Cam. You know, the Oilers are just.
Oh, Edmonton
was way better than
possessed. It was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. And then the series that I picked, I think you picked the Predators too, right?
I did pick the Predators.
And
I'll tell you what though, I just to circle back on the Edmonton LA series real quick. You have been a outspoken member of the anti Pierre Luc Dubois fan club.
100%.
And good God Almighty, have you been right on that one?
Oh yeah, I remember when people were like, "The Rangers need to go out and get Pierre-Luc Dubois." I said, "Why do you want to bring that into the locker room?" I stampeded on that soapbox for quite a while, and you're seeing why. I mean, whatever. But I'm just, you know,
he's a fourth liner there.
There's certain players that just have all the attributes for no fly zones, and PLD is one of them to me. Now, the one series that we caught a bit of flack for was picking the Predators over the Canucks. And after game one, it didn't look all that great. But my basis on this was that the Canucks were like 17-15 since February. And a lot of that was largely because Demko is out, right? I think that's a fair statement. The Predators have been one of the hottest teams, if not hottest team in the NHL going into the playoffs.
Since Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett took away the U2 concert in Vegas.
Yeah. I mean, but now the flip of it is game two, Demko is out.
And he's out for the series.
And the Predators are winning in this game. Granted, it's a 1-0 lead, but they scored early into the first.
Now, just so everybody knows, though, if the Predators win this game and win this series, whatever Nashville does, it doesn't actually count because they face the backup goalie. Because if we're going to play the same game that everybody played with the Rangers 2 years ago, when the Rangers beat Casey DeSmith and Louis Domingue and Tristan Jarry in round one, then what's good for the Goose is good for the Gander. So if Nashville wins and they win the series, it doesn't actually count because they played a backup goalie.
Yep, there you go. And the last series, amazing.
People don't forget.
Amazing. amazing that Mark Stone could be out for, what, 6, 7 weeks?
I was going to say, I'm just going to sit back here and let you have the floor. Go ahead, do your
thing. And we're going to have to start this back up because we're going to run out of time. But
the Florida Panthers winning in overtime.
This is as bad, if not worse, than Kucherov to me. There is no way. Now, look, I get the lacerated spleen. It's no joke. It's a dangerous and a life-threatening injury, to be honest. I almost want to question the validity of how severe that was, if that was really a lacerated spleen. I really do. It's at that point where I really want to question it. And the reason why I say that is because this guy comes back and plays like he hasn't missed a beat. Yeah, I find it hard to believe that his injury was as serious as they played it up to be. And I know maybe that's, oh, you're being a conspiracy theorist and you don't know what you're talking about. And I probably don't. And I know I don't. But
Chris has on his tinfoil hat.
Dude, the Vegas Golden Knights have, and this is funny because I, for the longest time, Nick used to give me crap all the time.
What was it I used to call the White Knight of the Golden Knights?
Yeah, and they have turned into public enemy number one to me because, look, I know people say, well, there's all these teams that are doing it. The Rangers may do it if Filipino comes back. Blah, blah, blah. There's a huge...
The difference is Hedl was actually legitimately hurt with a concussion, like, tried to come back, and then, he flared up again. This is legitimately different. Mark Stone, every single year, the last 3 years, has gotten hurt at the exact same time.
And then has conveniently... Like, I'm back!
I'm back for game one.
Is in perfect game shape. I mean, how many players do you know that have suffered such a severe injury, illness, whatever, come back, have the second most minutes of their team, beat out all the players, I think, defensive-wise. I think he beat out every defenseman, too, minute-wise. Maybe not. But out of the forwards, Jack Eichel was the only other forward that put up more minutes than him. Doesn't miss a beat, scores a goal. Like, come on.
I mean, it took Nikita Kucherov 2 months to get back in the game shape.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, look, teams, yeah, there's plenty of teams that are over the cap. There's plenty of teams. The NHL 1,000% needs to look at it. But the Vegas Golden Knights go about it in a way of they are literally just giving it, they're giving the league the middle finger. It's just blatant. It is blatant at this point. And I've got a big problem. I think it's bad for the game. I honestly think it's bad for the game. And I know the NHL isn't going to do jack squat about it right now because Vegas is obviously the darling of the NHL, and they need it to be, rightfully so, for the expansions to work. But it's ridiculous to me. It dilutes the integrity of the regular season, in my opinion. And in that case, you might as well expand the playoffs because you're basically heading in that direction. And I think it's ridiculous. And I think they'll knock off Dallas because Dallas is Dallas, and I don't put a whole lot of stock into the Dallas Stars. And I think Vegas, it'll probably end up, I think, what did I pick? Did I pick Vegas losing to Edmonton, I think, in the second round, or Vegas losing to Winnipeg in the conference final or something like that? Something along those lines. But I'm really curious to see how this all kind of evolves. I'm really curious to see on the Rangers side, game three, how they come out, how Washington comes out. It's a huge game. I mean, they always say game three of a series is a pivotal one. Much more so for Washington, obviously, but it's a big test to the Rangers for coming out. You have a team down on the mat. Don't let them up. Don't let them off the mat. You may not sweep it, and you probably won't sweep it. You really shouldn't sweep any playoff series if you think about it. But this is one of those that you can't let it go past five, because you've got to, for once in your life, and they really, I feel like, haven't done this since 94, is take care of business
you keep glossing over the 2015 postseason where they beat Pittsburgh in five.
Yeah, but they also didn't make things easy for themselves in 2015 either.
Well, it was because McDonough hit Zuccarello on the head with that shot.
Right.
But they would have beat Washington in six games that year, you know, or maybe even five games had Zuccarello not gotten hit in the head with that puck. But six,
to me, also isn't an easy series.
I mean, they're not always going to be easy series.
No, like, I know that, but that's not what I'm saying. Where the Rangers habitually don't take care of business, like 2 years ago, Pittsburgh, there was no reason that the Pittsburgh series should have won seven games. That series should have been five games. The Rangers should have taken care of business and wrapped that one up. It should have been, because it sets you up down the road. Because you know Carolina, it's going to be a seven-game series. You know it's going to be a brutal series. And you know after that, whether it's Tampa or Florida, that's going to be a freaking buzzsaw of a series. But you're hoping that the other teams are beating each other up enough that by the time you get down to that point, that you get to like a Rangers Flyers 97, where one team is laboring and the other team is able to muscle their weight and get through. That's all I'm saying. So go out there and do your job and wrap this shit up. That's all. Now, before we close, because I haven't felt this sort of way about Knicks basketball in a long time. The Garden has had a hell of a weekend and a hell of a start to the week, with just all heart in game one. And then Brunson doing, like, very similar. Rangers and Knicks, very similar right now. They are doing the dirty work and doing everything they can to freaking pull it out. And the Knicks, down in both games, come from behind, both of them, and they pull out a wild finish last night at the Garden, where you could just see on camera that the building was freaking shaking.
Wait, when DiVincenzo hit that three.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there going, I don't remember. I can barely remember the last time that I was this amped up for a Knicks playoff run. Not that we've had many. But, like, what was the last, like, am I going back to, like, Sprewell?
No, I mean, last year when Brunson hit that shot against hit that three against Miami, the Garden blew its top.
Yeah, but like I don't know. Yeah. Was that team really expected to go?
I mean, if they would have had
this team go.
If they would have had another shoot, if they would have had DiVincenzo last year, they would have beaten Miami.
I mean, I didn't really feel that way against the Atlanta series, except for just the excitement of it was the first time in the playoffs for a while.
Yeah, since the Nick you hated the most, Carmelo Anthony, was a Nick. Because you just... Because you disrespect Melo. Like, you just show him no respect. Melo was a great Nick. Melo was a phenomenal Nick.
He was, but the years didn't... It just didn't... Nothing ever...
He was going up against... Prime LeBron and Dwayne Wade in Miami. Really.
Look, I get it, but I love that it gets under your skin. That's why I play
off. Carmelo, you know what? You know what it is? Carmelo Anthony is the basketball version of Brad Park, just played in the wrong era. It's the
baseball version of Don Mattingly.
He just played in the wrong era. Like, Brad Park was surrounded, like, Bobby Orr. And then when Orr retired, oh, the next defenseman that Brad Park has to play against is Dennis Podvin. So it's like he has to go against two of the three greatest defensemen of all time in, you know, in the same amount of time. He had, you know, with an overlay. Like, there was no break. Anthony had played against Kobe Bryant. And then, oh, okay, once Kobe and the Lakers are dwindling down, oh, LeBron. So it's like he just got stuck in the wrong era.
No, he just couldn't win. No, I mean, and he came in at a time when, you know, nobody was coming to New York. You know, they had to pay an absurd amount of money.
Him and Amari were the only two guys that wanted to be Knicks.
And I always joked with you because I always said I loved Amari, and you're like, look at you. But I was like, Amari wanted to come here.
And so did Melo. Melo forced his way here.
Yeah, and they just never did anything else with those guys to do anything with it. But
I love Carmelo Anthony.
But you probably
love John Starks, who's the reason why the Knicks lost in 94 to the Houston Rockets.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So whatever. Yeah.
Why'd you have to go there?
Yeah. Because your Melo slander but this is ridiculous, team, and it this pisses team, me off. Wow, what a goal by Mark Scheifele.
The Rangers and the Knicks are playing that gutsy, and I know people say they hate the references back, and they're tired of it, and I am too. It's 30 freaking years, man. But.
Yeah, he's tired of it, but.
These teams.
I'm not dogging Chris Kreider, but. ..
No, they're playing with the grit and that intensity and that heart of the 90s teams.
With the Josh Hart.
Dude was balling in game one.
He was balling in game two.
I know, but game one, when he was sinking those threes, that shit was just... I mean, it was an electric weekend at the Garden. Absolutely electric weekend at the Garden. And go out and celebrate. Knicks fans have every damn right. I think people are, you know, the people, oh, what is it? It's like they won the championship. Shut up.
Joel Embiid's a punk bitch.
Yeah, dude. Maybe if you stop hogging the ball so much and had to rely on Maxi scoring every point, because you're only shooting like what, 20-something% on average for the series, yet you're still putting up like 30 points.
Yeah. But it's all the refs' fault why they lost. But yet every time he touches the ball, if he breathes the wrong way, he gets a foul called for him. So he needs to shut up, and Sixers fans also need to shut up. But yeah, fuck Embiid.
And I love it. I love it that we don't do this. We don't usually like cross over. But it is an exciting time to be a New York sports fan with the Knicks and Rangers. And we have not had this in such a long time. It has been such a long time.
When the Garden was eaten.
It's just, it's freaking awesome. And I think, it's real quick. But, yeah. But we get a couple of days off. We don't even have the Knicks don't play again until Thursday. So I got 2 days off for that. What's up with the 2 days off?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's weird. Because they're down in Philly now, and we're down in Washington, where Ranger fans that couldn't get money or got priced out of tickets for the Caps games or for the Ranger games up here, just go to DC because you know the tickets would be like, it's insane. The ticket prices
If I didn't have to work, I'd be in D.C. for one of the two games.
Dude, the ticket prices for the Garden are insane. I mean, I did not expect it to be... It's... Wow. It is.
I mean, if there is a Game 5, and I believe that would be in D.C.,
Game 5 would be home.
What? Are you sure about that?
Yeah. What do you mean? What? Are you drunk?
Are you sure about that?
Game 3 and 4 are in Washington. Game 5 is home. What?
Game five is home. You're right. And why is it on a Wednesday? That's so stupid.
Because they're jumping the schedule jumps around. I don't know why. Game three is Friday night. Game four is Sunday. And then game five, if necessary, is
on Wednesday. Freaking
Wednesday. But I think that's because of an overlap probably with the Knicks. But right now, you could get into Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. for $160. You can't even sniff the outside of the garden for that money right now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of tickets available. There's a healthy amount of tickets available for... And, I mean, they don't go, like, insane. The best seat in the house, you could get in there for one row off the ice for $690. You're not doing that at the Garden. I mean, it's pretty crazy how big ticket prices. It's kind of nuts. But I digress. All right. We are going to leave you with another throwback. Because why not? Because that's what it's all about right now. And all the vibes are just through the roof. So why not, right?
We are the New York Knicks. 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 On the fourth, scoring more is 94, and the Knicks are hardcore. And I'll tell you like this, we ain't never looked sharper. With Hubert, Bonner, Gray, and Harper, it's the Knicks, and we're back on pace. Everyone's gearing up for the championship race, and the fans are going crazy, and they're doing it for a reason. Cause 94 is the Knickerbocker season. You better believe the Knicks got all that takes. We're shooting three-pointers, and we're running fast breaks. And if your defense makes a mistake, then bam, you ain't dunks in your face. This is a team you don't wanna miss. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Say yo, busted. All you hear is a swish. Threes by Starks and dunks by Smith. And no rebounds if that's the case. We put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say go New York, go New York, go.
All right, go take care of business. Knock out Philly in four. Sweep them. Sweep them. Rangers, knock out the Caps in four. Sweep it across the board. Let's go, baby. There you go. We'll talk to you guys next time.
I like it.